Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this is a Catholic outreach of the Catholic Church in Kalamazoo in southwestern Michigan, Grand Rapids, wherever you can hear my voice. We started doing this almost 2 years ago, and it's really, I think, been just a real honor and a privilege to be able to do this, to be able to do this in our diocese. And Bishop Paul Bradley, of course, has given me his blessing to do this radio program. And I hope it serves you well. And I, you know, always appreciate a card or a letter. You can send it to the radio station, or you can send it to St. John Bosco Church in Matawan, and I will be sure to get it. And, I always run into people every so often when I start feeling like, you know, well, maybe this ministry is not, you know, whether we should be doing this or not, because we spend money. It costs money to run this program. The radio station does not give us this time for free, so we pay for this radio time, and it's just a real blessing. So every so often I'll run into somebody and they'll say, hey, I listen to the radio program. I really enjoy it. And, if they're not able to get to Mass, or it's just always that uplifting thing to hear the Word of God. That is being preached at Catholic churches throughout the world. And, of course, the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years now, almost 2,000 years. And I kind of wonder in 2033, what's going to happen. You know, then it will be exactly, 2,000 years since the birth of Christ, thereabouts within a year or two. And it really makes us ponder, my brothers and sisters. It's not very far away. You know, it's only 15 years from now, 2033. And, but what about today? You know, if I was to meet the Lord today, if I was to die today, or even if I was to lift up my eyes to heaven and say, Lord, speak to me. Tell me what I should do. Tell me where I'm going wrong. Tell me the truth about me. So often, we listen to other people, places, and things, and we become convinced that that's the truth, whether it's CNN or Fox News or the Democrats or the Republicans, and we believe, that's truth. They're telling me the truth, and I'm going to belong to this group. I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's foolishness. It is so important to listen to what Jesus Christ has to say to us. And today, in a very refreshing way, in a kind of a sense, he's telling us to take a break. He's telling us to go on a little bit of a retreat, to step back from our lives, step back from the busyness of our lives, even step back from the busyness of ministry, and to take a look at where we are. And so we're going to read the scripture readings today, and I hope it's inspirational to you and to me. I'm certain it will be. We have the prophet Jeremiah, who is going to speak to us in this first reading. And this is the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we'll start our readings. This is Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and from all the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So beautiful reading there from Jeremiah 23:1-6. Our next reading is from Ephesians 2:13-18. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. The word of the Lord. Powerful reading from Ephesians. And now our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Mark 6, chapter 6, 30-34. That's Mark 6, 30-34. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So just a beautiful gospel reading today, kind of the God telling us to take a break, Jesus telling us to take a break once in a while, this gospel reading. But let's go back to our first reading, and we'll kind of recap all of our readings here. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo in southwestern Michigan. It's an outreach of the Catholic Church, inviting you to come back to the church, to come home. This is a family. This is what Christianity is all about. It is about a family. We all know, my brothers and sisters, that we can have bad family members, right? We can have family members who belong in jail. We can have family members who we're surprised that God hasn't taken them home yet. We can have good family members and sick family members who suffer from terrible diseases, family members who have been hurt or abused, when they were children, and that abuse and that resentment and that anger and that hurt and that pain has manifested itself in adulthood into a life of crime, into a life of anger and hatred. And, you know, we're not the church is not insulated from these things, my brothers and sisters. No organization is. Our workplaces, all places of worship, schools, detention centers, prisons, jails, it's everywhere. Even more reason for us to pray this day. Even more reason for us to do what Christ is calling us to do, which is to step back and to not only take pity, but this word, we'll get into that later, but this word pity is also the word of compassion, to have compassion. And so that's what I'm asking my brothers and sisters for us today. And I think all the scriptures are pointing quite readily to that, even in our first reading from Jeremiah. You know, woe to the shepherds, right? Woe to people like myself. You know, be careful. Do not mislead the flock. Do not scatter them. Do not lord over them. And most of all, do not lie to them. And my brothers and sisters, we have a lot of different religions on the planet. We have a lot of different ideas of who God is and what God is, that, you know, maybe that, you know, like in Islam, God is the master, right? God is not the father. Christianity, God is the father. But in Catholicism, in the Catholic Church, the original Christian Catholic Church, God is, this is a family, okay? It's, yes, Jesus is our Savior, but we have God the Father. We have the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all those aspects, and all of the tradition that comes with it, all the thousands of years back into the Old Testament of history, that God did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And in some ways, you know, we can take, you know, Ephesians, and we can take that out of context in some ways and say, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person. You know, we can see that, and it sounds that way, and we think, oh, well, it's all about Jesus now. But in many places in Scripture, God, Jesus tells us that he has come to fulfill the law, fulfill the commandments. And in some ways, it's even more difficult, because we are called to love everyone. But we go back to Jeremiah, and all these fit in very nicely together. All these scripture readings fit in quite nicely together, because not only is God warning us, Jeremiah warning us, and how we speak to the flock, but also how we shepherd them. And what kind of a shepherd am I? And am I following the true church? Am I following the true shepherd? An earthly shepherd. For us as Catholic Christians, we are following our earthly shepherd. Locally is our bishop, Bishop Paul Bradley. And so he decides things and says things that we're to pay attention to. He is the father, the leader of this flock here locally, here in southwestern Michigan. There's four or five in the state of Michigan, bishops, right? Just as Christ appointed these apostles, as I say to you, go into the world, you know, just as we were talking last week in the scriptures, you know, where Jesus sends out the apostles. Same way with the bishops, right? And the priests and the deacons and the men and women religious. God sends us out. And also in a very special way, he sends all of us out. Every single one of us. And so we must be careful what we say. we must make sure that the words that we speak are words of compassion, words of love. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas put it very, quite plainly. You know, he says, you know, that a person who does not speak the truth plainly, who kind of just muddles his words and basically everything's okay, you know, you can live any way you want. And we talked about that last week, about how there are pastors who teach that. And there's pastors who teach great hatred against other churches and religions. This is wrong. Jeremiah says that it is wrong. Jesus says that it is wrong. For the people need a shepherd of compassion, a shepherd that will love them. And of course, yes, that love, as I've seen, St. Thomas Aquinas says, that this is the lowest form of love. The lowest form of love, to just agree with everything a person is doing. Whether they're living a sinful lifestyle, whether they've committed grave sin against their family and humanity. You know, people say, well, it's no big deal, you know. It's okay. I'm only hurting myself. It's my own personal business. I can do what I want. But as Pope John Paul has said, and others have said, and Scripture says, that a price is paid, just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. God had to basically kill some animals to give them those skins. A sacrifice, in a certain sense, had to be made for Adam and Eve because of their sin. They needed to be clothed. See? And how did they find this shame? Through this envy of the devil, this empty promise of the devil. The devil says, you'll know everything. No. No. We mean no less and less and less. And we sooner or later, we become blind to it all. We become blind to it all. So let us continue on to our readings here. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this outreach of the Catholic Church, inviting you to come home to the Catholic Church. We basically do Liturgy of the Word, which we've read, the scripture readings that are read at Catholic churches throughout the world this Sunday. And, you know, there's Sunday Mass that's at, you know, all over. Church, lots of churches have Mass at 6 p.m., 1 o'clock, 11:30 at St. John Bosco's. So you probably still make it there, you know. But it's something for us to consider, my brothers and sisters, on, and that's what Jesus is telling us today, is stepping back and looking at our lives. And looking at our lives in the sense of our baptismal promise to shepherd. In a very powerful way, for priests and deacons and religious and bishops and the Holy Father, Pope Francis, to look at how we shepherd. How do we shepherd our people? How do we talk to them? How do we treat them? Do we include them? Are we not fearful and have this fear that, you know, I can't talk to them about this, or I can't talk to them about that, right? Or I can't talk to them about divorce because I have so many divorced people in my congregation. Well, we do need to talk about divorce. And how it should be the very, 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 very last thing that we do. Especially for us men. To fight for our marriages. To fight for our families. And for wives to do the same. And for children to say to their parents, you know, let's go to church. Let us surrender. Let us be at peace. Let us show compassion. Let us show pity on each other. Some amount of that. So this reconciling that God has made. So this reading from Ephesians, and the main reading that the Catechism has is basically one reading this week. It's very interesting, and it's on Ephesians, and it's from the Catechism 2305. He has reconciled men and women with God. He has made His church, big C, His church, the sacrament of the unity of the human race and of its union with God. He is our peace. He has declared, blessed are the peacemakers. So we ask ourselves, God, Jesus has taken down this wall of enmity, this divider, this dividing wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. See? Basically between the very holy people and the people who have no holiness. See? Taken that wall down and brought us into one church, one building. And in a certain sense, He has made His church the sacrament of unity. Think about that. How powerful is that? What a challenge that is for us. Laid down in front of us that the Catholic Church would be this unity. And of course, Catholic means universal. It is for all. It is a religion worldwide. It is a religion for every country. You know, many parts of the Middle East, of course, especially in Turkey. Turkey was generally an all-Catholic Christian country. See? Until the forced belief of Islam came there. See? And even for many of the other countries in the Middle East. And of course, we can say the same about Protestantism. We can say the same about the corner Bible church that starts up. I'm going to do it my way. Goes back to the Frank Sinatra song, right? We can say this about the Seventh-day Adventists and about the Mormons. We have created our own divisions, created our own walls. Jesus takes down this wall, and what do? We build them back up. See? And we don't just build them back up in the way of opening up churches and starting new religions and starting new churches and new doctrines, because they all have doctrines. Many people will say, well, the Catholic Church has too many doctrines. Well, you know what? It's truth. It's teaching. Doctrine is another word for teaching. And you don't agree with it. And that's why you don't go to the Catholic Church, because it's too powerful. It's too strong. You can't handle it. Well, many times I can't handle it either. But I need to accept it because it's the truth. See? I may not be able to practice it perfectly today. I may not be able to accept it perfectly today. But I know that it's the truth. I don't walk away from it. I don't ignore it. You know, if my house is on fire, I don't ignore that my house is on fire. If I'm having tragedy in my life, if my life seems to be a total mess, I don't ignore it, and many of us can do that. But Jesus has taken this wall away, my brothers and sisters. So we ask ourselves this. Am I a peacemaker? Am I blessed? Who do we have walls up against? What walls have we created? See? And we've done it. Lots of churches have done it. You know, created these walls, created these divisions. We even do it in our own little groups. You know, as I said earlier today, you know, earlier this morning when we were talking about this, you know, if I say, well, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, and so I'm against all of this. You know, no more taxes. You know, no more taxes. Well, you've got to pay your police officers. You have to do the corporal works of mercy. You need to take care of the elderly. And many times we have to tax other people to take care of the elderly because families don't take care of their own families. Men and women don't take care of their own children. Grown men and women don't take care of their own parents. They don't make sure that they have enough food. They don't make sure that they're living in good housing, in a good place. What do you think God thinks about that? And they have plenty of money to do it. So what happens is what? We have taxes. And so all of us, cumulatively, need to pitch in and help in those things. And, you know, I have a, you know, I appreciate that. You know, my father lived with us for the last 4 years of his life. It was a great blessing. Was it a lot of work? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And in the last month, I was on my knees every day, on my knees anyway, praying, but on my knees in a very special way, praying for his passing, because it had become so much work. It had become so painful to watch him die. But I, brothers and sisters, it's such a great grace. When they're pounding the nails into your very hands, it is grace. The grace of Jesus Christ shows us this power, the power of compassion, the power of love, that shows us these things, and not to run away from them, not to run away from our responsibilities. And so, you know, we'll have our vote that'll come up here, you know, August 7th. And I encourage you to vote for this for seniors, to vote yes. And I know it's more tax money, but you know, we need to feed people. You know, when you've got over 100 people who are waiting for Meals on Wheels in Kalamazoo County, it's shameful. It's really shameful. And that's all I'm going to say more about. So anyway, as we always talk about St. John Paul, theology of the body, I want to touch on that a little bit too. But just the final word on this gospel reading here today too is this, you know, next week will be the feeding of the 5,000, right? So this is kind of a little break this week. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, take a little time to be in prayer this week. Take a little kind of mini retreat to rest, right? Take a deep breath and rest. And Jesus, ask me and tell me and show me the way. Show me what you would like me to do. What kind of shepherd you want me to be. And to be able to show pity. Be able to show love to my brothers and sisters, especially within our own families. And of course, here we go with Pope John Paul's theology of the body. You can read this whole thing on EWTN.com, but it's quite beautiful, and every week, you know, it falls into this beautiful thing. So it's number 5 that is from Theology of the Body from St. Pope John Paul the Second, and this is his general audience on the 10th of October, 1979. The Holy Father examined man's solitude, not as male, distinct from female, but in his nature and his as distinct from other living things. His difference in superiority revealed to him in his self-consciousness. So it is man's responsibility. Okay? People hear that word superiority. But it is, we have this great responsibility to lead. To lead our families. To lead them to church. And I know it's difficult, you guys. I know it's difficult. It's not supposed to be easy. But you must lead. So my brothers and sisters, as we go through this week, be in prayer. Pray deeply. Have the courage to have pity. Have the courage to have compassion. And have the courage to lead your lives and live your lives fully as Jesus Christ would want. And may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.